It's an absolute privilege to be bringing the word this morning. It's been quite an interesting time of the year. Lots going on. And as you all know, other than Christmas, this week was quite a big week because, as you all know, the world nearly ended. And did you all know that? Okay, if you didn't, nearly ended. You nearly missed it. According to Mayan prophecy, on Friday morning at the dawn of the 21st of the 12th of the 12th, the world was going to come to an end. And the world reacted to the prophecy. Sometimes I wish they would react to the prophetic word the same way. And different people reacted in different ways. I mean, people spent thousands to get to safety. There was in the Kremlin in Russia, and there's a bit of a slideshow, I don't know if you can see, you could pay $1,000 US. Help. You could spend $1,000 US to spend 24 hours in this bunker, which was built during the Cold War for the Soviet leaders in case of atomic warfare. So then they sold out, okay? And in Serbia, a hotel sold out because they said they were the best place to survive the apocalypse. This is a mountain which I can't pronounce his name and I won't try that. And the people of this place believe that they have mystical powers because their mountain swallowed up a castle which belonged to a wealthy sorcerer while he was inside. And this is what people have hope in. And they find it hard to believe in the word. They sold out, guys. I mean, this place is huge. This is fact. My sources, I went on to National Geographic, Yahoo, Yahoo News, and various other sources. So this is what happened. This is what happened this week. This was 2 days ago. Then we get what we call the preppers. Has anyone heard of the preppers? Okay, the preppers buy out Walmart. They spend their life saving buying groceries. Okay? And they wait. They brick up their houses and they wait. This is the hope of the world. And then you've got this bunch. This is a bunch of family and friends. This is fact. They were interviewed. This is like taken 3 days ago. They left their world's belongings, okay? Left their jobs, left everything, and moved to Tennessee from Florida in case the sea levels rose. And this is their hope. Pretty hopeless bunch, wouldn't you say? I'd say. You see, if we lose hope, we are overcome with feelings of despair and desperation, and we do crazy things. We need hope. The world needs hope. And there was a quote that I read about, it says, as people we can go 40 days without eating, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope. Interesting. There was a story of a U.S. submarine that was knocked by another ship and it immediately sunk. And as it went down, all the ships went to its rescue, but there was no hope. And I can only imagine what was going on in that vessel. You know, as people started to panic and try and stay brave, and as the air started to run out. And one of the divers went down, and he started to hear a knocking, and soon figured out that it was Morse code. It was tap, tap. And what the Morse code tapping very slowly was, is there any hope? Hope. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope. I'm very excited about this word because I really believe that we need to have this word for now. There is hope. Praise God. The Bible says that no one but the Father knows the time. Only the Father knows the time, but it will come. Amen. The time will come. You're not smiling. I'm smiling. But we are not to give up hope, because for the Christian, life is essentially a life of hope, because the best is yet to come. And that's the title of my message this morning. The best is yet to come. This is our hope. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to our key scripture this morning. It's in Titus. I have the NLT version up, but I'd like you to have it look in your Bibles, purely just to get used to going through the Bible, you know, finding Titus. It's good to read along. Okay, the key verse today is Titus 1:2, but I'm going to read from 1, just to give us a bit of context and understanding. And this is from the NLT, New Living Translation. It says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live a godly life. Okay, you with me? He says, I've come to share the gospel, to tell you how to live this life that Christ died for. Okay, he says, this truth gives them confidence. And if you're following your Bible, you'll probably find what hope, what word? Okay, the ESV, for example, definitely says hope, and I'm sure the King James, most of the others. But the New Living Translation, I enjoy the way it says it, so, but gives them confidence, hope, that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. This word hope, Paul uses a few times. It's used more than 56 times in the New Testament alone. Okay, but here in Titus, Paul is referring, he refers to it 3 times, and he's referring to hope that comes because of eternal life, and hope that comes because of a place that we're going to go to. And that's something I tell you, when I started studying hope, oh my goodness, I've been wanting, hope is an amazing word. It's you really, really need to go and study the word. If you've got a concordance at the back of your Bible, go and write out all the scriptures. You're going to have pages of it. It's amazing. That is our inheritance, guys. And I wish I could talk about everything, but this is just a very, very basic touching on it. Okay, just very basically, I'm just going to touch on hope. And especially this hope that pertains to eternal life, our hope. Okay, so every time you're going to read about this hope in the Bible, it is always to do with God. That is our hope, always to do with God. God is the author of hope. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Our God is the God of hope. 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to cover all the scriptures, I'm just going to a couple. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope. And there's 1 Timothy and Colossians. I'm not going to go through them, okay? Go do the work. Go and just feed and do the research. You'll be excited as I am. So, over and over again, we see that hope is connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Okay. And we hope in Jesus Christ. I'm actually going to. But what exactly is hope? Okay. What exactly is hope? Does anybody know? Does anybody want to give a guess? Expecting something? possibly something desirable. I looked it up. The Webster's Online Dictionary defines hope to cherish a desire with anticipation. Pretty much what Nadine just said, expecting. But that's a sort of a worldly kind of hope. He hopes for promotion. Or we hope they arrive home safely. Do you agree? But this is not the biblical hope. Biblical hope is based on the character of God. Biblical hope is based on the promise of God. The promises that are in the Bible to us. This is what we hope in. This is what we have. It says to wish for something that may happen in the future, that's uncertainty. To anticipate, long for, wait for, something that will happen in the future, that is certainty. But unfortunately, there are also those who hope incorrectly. They sort of hope that they will have eternal life, even though they haven't made a personal commitment to acknowledge Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. And those who hope that they will start to look and sound like Jesus, but they never spend any time in the Word or praying. How do you think or hope to start to look like someone you don't even know? That's incorrect hope. That's hope not well applied. I want to quickly give you three reasons. I know everyone's excited to get on with the family lunches and everything, but I'm really excited about this. So I want to give you three reasons for the type of hope that Paul talks about here in Titus. The first is the Word of God. The Word of God, which gives hope. In Romans 15:4, such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Is anyone getting excited? Okay. The Scriptures give us hope. We think sometimes that we've got to get through this life alone. Sometimes we start going through things like we start to feel alone, desperate, despair. And we think that God's left us or that no one is interested. And if you start reading the Word, you'll start to see some amazing things. There's a man called Elijah. Has anyone heard of Elijah? This man ran for the hills. He was convinced that God had forsaken him. He was convinced that he had not a friend. Okay? But God proved to him that he was still with him. You see, the Bible's full of hope. David, this mighty man of God. If you're ever afraid, go read the story of David. We have a David here today. Two Davids. The story of David, he fought giants. Okay? Because his hope was in God. And then there's many more. If you're being badly treated, go read about Joseph. You want to hear badly treated. The poor guy. His whole family turned against him. Potiphar's wife, his boss. Bad news, man. The guy had it bad. But what did he do? He turned his trust to the living God. His hope was in God. And as I said, there's many, many more. We can read about Daniel being faced with lions. Go and read the Word for the hope. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you take the Word? Can you take God at his word? Should you take God at his word? Okay, so if we are really believing what he's saying, God's saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalms it says, even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. If you go to places that you think God couldn't be there, he is there. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. God is there. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is there. Hope is there. Okay, the second reason for hope is the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The cross reminds us that someone loves us. It's not just any someone. We are loved by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the master of the universe, loves us so much that he would give up his life for us. John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. The Father could send his only son. If he sent his very, very best, is there anything you think that he will spare for his love for you? Not things you want necessarily, but your needs. Because our wants are sometimes not what we need. But God loves us, and he proved it on the cross. And the cross also reminds us that he forgave us. Colossians 1:21-22. There's quite a lot of scripture today, but I just really believe that nothing's going to say it better than the word. 21 says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Do you get this? You never have to face guilt again. He has done it. He took upon himself the punishment. He put himself between us, and he reconciled us to his Father. He leads us to his Father. We are blameless. If we hope in the cross of Christ, we experience this reconciliation, the finished work of the cross. Amen. Thirdly, the empty tomb gives us hope. The empty tomb gives us hope. And this is, for me, the really exciting part. This is, for me, something I think we leave for Easter. We celebrate Christmas, which is amazing. But this is exciting, guys. This is what I want you to hold. If you remember nothing else today, this is exciting. The resurrection of Christ assures us that firstly, we can change. Okay? His resurrection assures us of two things. Firstly, that we can change. We do not have to stay the way we are when he found us. We don't have to change. Something we don't do ourselves. Romans 6:3-6. I'm not going to read it, okay? Go home and read it. I hope you guys have got pen and paper. This is something I'm just giving you salt. I hope it makes you thirsty to go and study the Word of God. Go and read this at home, okay? Romans 6:3-6. It's who you are in Christ. It's your inheritance. It talks about being a new creation in Christ. Go and study it. Because you see, what happens is we say we're born again. We say, I'm saved. But we walk around looking, sounding exactly the same. And we walk around making excuses for ourselves. I did it for years. And we walk around saying, well, this is who you made me to be. This is who I am. My nature. Guys, do you honestly think if God can raise Christ, his son, from the dead after 3 days, he cannot change you. And it's nothing we do. It's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. He raised Christ from the dead by his Spirit, and he will change your life by his Spirit. It's nothing we do. It's exciting. This is our hope. We come to him broken. We come to him scarred. Messed up. It's the worst of all sinners. Do you know what I mean? And Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, he does it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is there something here that's going to challenge some of you? But I'm going to say it. If you have received Christ as your Savior, so I'm not going to look at anyone, and your life has not changed, you need to take a good look at your salvation and whether it's real. I challenge you, In love. In love. Don't miss it. Don't miss out. It's not religion that changes us. It's not coming to church that changes us. You can come and sit in that chair every Sunday and it's not going to change a thing about your life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Surrendering to the changing work of Christ. Saying, yes, Lord, come in. Come and do that change. It might hurt. You know, I might have to make some choices here. Choice is good, guys. It's hope. And then the empty tomb also assures us of eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, man. We charismaniacs. Act like them. We are assured of eternal life. It gives us hope for a better life in the presence of God. Better than anything we've ever known or conceived here on earth. This is the good stuff. We will talk on the hope. There's like a lot about eternity that I really would love to do. I think next year I'd really would like to do a whole series on this because I just really think as a church, we need to know this and we need to share this and we need to, like, it needs to come out of our pores because this is what the world's desperate for, is hope. So I'm really looking forward to that. But John 11, 25 to 26, Jesus talking to Martha, and he says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe me, Martha? Do you believe me? Do you believe me, Andre? I don't know if we believe this. I don't know if we believe this. We will never, ever die. In Christ, because of his resurrection, that is our inheritance. That is the hope set before us. So in summary, we have seen this morning that our hope is what our hope is, who our hope is. We have seen the three reasons for hope: God's word, the cross of Christ, and the empty tomb. In closing, I want you to realize something. That without Christ, there is no hope. You saw the results. There is no hope without Christ. As someone once said, life with Christ is an endless hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Do you want me to read that again? Life with Christ is an endless hope. It's eternal, forever. Forever. And I can't wait to tell you everything I've been reading about eternity. Guys, it's going to be outrageous. Eternity with God. But life without Christ is a hopeless end. So, I don't usually do altar calls, but I want to do this morning. If you're sitting here, and I know the church is half empty and people are feeling a little bit self-conscious, but bow your heads, if we could just bow our heads for a minute. If you're sitting here and you have not declared Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what are you hoping in? What are you living for? I just want to encourage you this morning that there is hope. There's hope for you. In the arms of a Savior, of a King who loves you with his life. And I really want to encourage you, even at this time where it's Christmas, a time supposedly filled with joy and hope, there's so much hurt in this world. There's so much brokenness. There's so many struggling marriages and children on drugs and hopelessness. But in everything, Christ is our hope. We hold on to Christ, not as a crutch, but as everything, our entire hope in Him. So I just want to ask you today, I mean, just take a moment and do business with God. I want you to be religious about this. I don't want you to be, think of this as some contrived altar call. This is a moment for each of us to do business with God, to just put our hearts out before Him and say, God, I made a call for You way back. I'm not breaking through. God, show me my heart. Just take a moment and ask God to show you your heart this morning and what your hope is in. What are you hoping in? Are you in despair? Are you in depression? Are you sick in your heart because you've lost hope? Does the news and the economics freak you out because there's no hope, because you don't know where your life is going? This morning I'm urging you, just as Paul urges, I'm begging you, don't leave this place without doing business with God. It's not for us. We are nothing. We are the biggest of sinners, all of us, every person in this room. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all take our eyes off God at some time or other and start to put our eyes on other things, our hope in other things. So this morning, I'm not going to wax lyrical. I'm not going to carry on. I'm asking you to do business with God right now. Would everyone just stand for a moment? Going to pray for us. Lord, we come to You this morning humbly, but with excitement, Lord. Lord, we know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We know that You did it all on that cross, God. Each and every one of us, God, needs You. We want You. We long for You. We hunger for You. Lord, this morning I pray that You would come into our hearts and give us hearts of flesh, God. Remove from us the hearts of stone. Give us a hope and a future in Christ Jesus. Lord, come and make us new this morning. Refresh by Your Spirit, God. Lord, the world contaminates. I pray that You would refresh us by Your Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that Your word goes forth, that it will do what You have called it to do, that every seed will be protected in the name of Jesus. I speak over it with authority now. Not one word that comes from Your heart, Lord, will be stolen, but it will be watered and it will grow in Jesus' name. Lord, our hope is in You. Our eyes are on You. And we bless You this morning. We thank You this morning. I just want to encourage you that if you do want to do business with God this morning, as people slowly make their way out to have tea and coffee, I want to urge you to come up here. There's going to be people here to minister to you. Don't be shy if you need prayer, encouragement, healing. If you want to renew your commitment to God, just come and do business. Spend time even at your seats. Just don't leave this place. He's waiting for you guys. He's waiting for us. Praise God. In Jesus' name, bless you as you go.